Hi everybody. So let's get started with this year's annual Haggadah Shiur. In every single year I've had the honor and privilege of being involved in the shul. We've always made it our business to be involved with different thoughts and to share different ideas that are relevant to your Seder or to the upcoming holiday of Pesach. In the last couple of years, and I'd say easily the last 10, a lot of our focus has been on not just random ideas, but the ideas and the perspectives of some of the great ones that we might have lost. And overwhelmingly in the last year, and overwhelmingly, the shiur tonight is going to be no different. So I give you this year's shiur, which I'm calling B'chol Dor V'Dor, which is the understanding that comes from the Haggadah that in every single generation, Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo, a person has a responsibility to see himself or herself. Like he's leaving right now from Mitzrayim. I think the Seder is a great opportunity to really see the interplay of generations and to see where we get what we get and how we come to it and how exactly we put things together in our lives. And so this evening I bring you this idea and hopefully we'll be able to do it as we are sharing our screen. It's always essential and crucial for me to also recognize that I want to dedicate tonight's Haggadah Shiur to two individuals. Many of you may know from our annual Haggadah Shiurim and from our daily Nachyomi. Of course, the Nachyomi is learned every single day. Lilui Nishmas Avi Moriah Rav Hillel Ben Meir Yechiel Mechel Zichrono Livracha, my father, the late Rabbi Dr. Harvey Schwartz. Who really made Pesach something very, very special. The Sedarim and my father's house were extremely powerful. There were a lot of great ideas that were shared through all the ages and all the stages, and each and every one was exciting. There was a development. It was never the same one twice, even though on subsequent nights we might have had two different ideas, and my father really sort of commanded this center of action from the time I was a little boy. And so when I think of the Haggadah and I think about the Seder, it's certainly him and, of course, Shetibadal Chaim Tovim Baruchim, my mother, who really helped me develop a certain mindset of the importance of appreciating the Seder. I also have to recognize the fact that my dear friends, the Amender family, have also been my partners in so much of the Torah recording that goes on in the shul. And the description of Dina's father, the late great Rabbi Jerry Acker, Zichrono Livracha, who was another individual who lived his life and carried it through to his kids with this also incredible mindset of the importance of transmitting b'chol dor v'dor, midor l'dor, the idea of transmitting from one generation to the next. And so it's to both of them that I really want to dedicate this year's annual Haggadah Shiur. And of course, to all those from previous generations. To really give us a sense of where we're going and how we've done, how we've gone, and where we're headed. And with that in mind, let's look at some of the individuals who will present certain thoughts. Many of them will be individuals that we have perhaps unfortunately not gotten to know well enough over the course of the last year, but whose legacy in the transmission of the Mesorah, of the transmission of generation to generation, like my father, Zichrono Livracha, like Rabbi Acker, Zichrono Livracha, are cogs that bring us to where we are now to be able to sing the praise of Hashem on our Seder night. I want to start with a thought from the late great Dayan Chanoch Ehrentrau. Dayan Ehrentrau was the British-born, was a German-born Orthodox rabbi. He was the head of the London Beis Din. And he retired from the post in December 2006, but he continued to lead the Jewish community in Britain and certainly beyond until he passed away last year. Dayan Ehrentrau picks up on an idea at the beginning of the Seder where we make the declaration every single year and every single Yom Tov. We recognize that we make the bracha Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim, that God is the one who sanctifies the Jewish people and the time of the year. Dayan Ehrentrau noted that one of the fundamental differences between Shabbos and Yontif can be found in the closing of the Kiddush Bracha. And so he cited the writings of Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, who notes that there's a difference between that and Shabbos, where we don't say Mekadesh Yisrael v'Shabbos, we make the Bracha Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. Only on Yom Tov, on Shabbos, we say just Mekadesh HaShabbos. Says Dayan Ehrentrau, in the name of Rav Tzadok of Lublin, that's because Shabbos is totally brought on by Hashem without any human involvement. And so therefore it's known, says Diane Herentraut, quoting Rav Tzadok, as Isaruse de la'ela. It's an awareness that comes from on top, from Shamayim, as opposed to Yontif, which is a joint effort. We join in with God in that process. And so therefore it becomes known as Isaruse de la tata. It's an awareness that comes from below. So Diane Herentraut added that whenever there's an awareness from Shamayim without any human involvement, there's always a nisayon, there's always a test to make sure that the human life continues afterwards. It's not just something that gets handed to you in life. And he uses an example, and he notes that that's why the Vilna Gaon, who was given the opportunity to learn Torah from a melech, at least according to Rav Chaim Valazhin in his introduction to Sifrei Ditznius, but the Gaon turned it down because he didn't want to have the nisayon. He didn't want the test that comes along from the things being just handed down to you in order to be able to make things stick. Says Diane Herentraut, Pesach is an example of heavenly awareness. It's the Isaruse de la Eila. It's true that it begins with the Bracha Mekadish Yisrael Ba'azmanim, but we didn't really work that hard to get to Yitzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the work. And as opposed to Yom Tov, and Sfiras HaOmer, which comes immediately thereafter, Sfiras HaOmer is an Nisayon. We are charged with the responsibility to grow every single day through the process of Sfira. And through the test of Sfira growth, we are Ezocha to get to the situation of Kabbalah Satorah. Mekadesh Yisrael Ba'azmanim, and then the growth through Sfira gives us a chance to really get to the true level of Geula that comes about through the process of the Kabbalah Satorah. You know, one of the issues that gets brought up in the later part of the Seder when the children start singing, Manish Tana Halayla Hazem Mikol Halelos, the first thing we highlight is Shebechol Halelos Anu Ochlim Chametz Matzah. On all other nights, we eat Chametz and Matzah. The late Rav Zecharia Wallerstein, who was the founder of Or Yitzchak and Ataras Nava Seminary for Girls, he was a very interesting and unique character in the lay of the land in Kiruv Levavos, in the bringing people close in the local scene in the United States of America, and specifically in the tri-state area. Anyway, Rabbi Wallerstein noted that there's a difference in the makeup of chametz and matzah, and particularly in the way that they come into being. So Rabbi Wallerstein explains that chametz is leaven. It's dough that rose and now looks puffed up and larger than it was when you began to mix the ingredients. Matzah, on the other hand, was flat, and it doesn't get excess value. But to make chametz, you think it should require more work. The bigger it is, the more work it should have required. And so it should be larger and denser and more significant than something that's slender and flat. But actually, the opposite is true. Chametz is easy to make. You start off with the initial ingredients, and then you just simply let it go ahead and do its work on its own. You don't do anything. You let it to grow on its own. It's actually the opposite. Matzah that is the thing that you actually have to work on. Matzah is the thing that requires you to have no respite and making sure that chimutz doesn't happen. It's the lack of work that makes chametz, says Rabbi Wallerstein. And the continuous application of effort, that's what creates matzah. And true life, true success and spiritual growth occur not where there's stagnation, says Rabbi Wallerstein, not when you rest back on your laurels and think that now you go on vacation. The continual effort is required at its very basic and elemental level to retain matzah in our lives. And so therefore, when you take a vacation and an unguarded attitude, that leads to a life of excess, of chametz, of inflation, of self-aggrandizement, where Hashem finds little room to enter. And so when we get to Pesach, we reinforce the principles of hard work and spiritual labor. And our freedom comes when we remain committed always and always to the Torah. Instead of being enslaved to passion and desire, we become dedicated to Hashem, and nothing, not even for a moment, stirs our attention away from our desired result, matzah. And so our life of purity, of subordination to the will of Hashem, there's nothing greater in life. It's neither rich nor more rewarding than the idea of being able to be constantly involved and focused in building ourselves to be something great. And so that is Rabbi Wallerstein's edition. We started off with the awareness and the Nisayon Asir of Dayan Erenchow. We now understand the importance of Chametz and Matzah, according to Rabbi Wallerstein, this tremendous opportunity that we have when we're looking at ourselves to make sure that we don't fall prey to the challenges in life by allowing ourselves to just lean back and get involved in self-aggrandizement. Another one of the great ones that we lost in the course of the last year was the late Rav Shimon Badani. Rav Badani was a Sfardi Rav in Rosh Kolel in Eretz Yisrael. He was the Rosh Kolel of Kolel Torah V'Chaim in Bnei Brak. And he lived very simply in life. Rav Badani became the head of the Moetzes Chachmat HaTorah after Rav Ovadia Yosef Zatzal passed away. And after earlier in the year, Rav Shalom Kom Zecher Tzadik Livracha passed away. I want to share a thought from Rav Badani with you. Rav Badani picks up on the idea, or at least we are picking up on the idea of Avadim Hayinu Leparo B'Mitzrayim, and we make the declaration, Ilu lo hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Avosinu mi-Mitzrayim, had Hashem not taken us out of Mitzrayim, then we, our children and our grandchildren, would still be enslaved to Paro in Mitzrayim. It seems like a pretty bold declaration now, doesn't it? And so in an address to a celebration of Baalei Tshuva, and about Tshuva Yeshiva, Rav Badani explained that the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva notes that the Jewish nation can't be redeemed without Tshuva. And then in the end, there is a promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes, says the Rambam, that the people will do Tshuva. Says Rav Badani, there's no source that supports either assertion of the Rambam. We have no way of knowing how it's the truth in the Talmud. And he adds that the requirements of a Mashiach in the future is that he's going to convince the masses of the Jewish people to do tshuva. Now, when that happens and how it happens, says Rav Badani, is when families work together towards a Torah lifestyle and tshuva. And he says that he sees this firsthand and it encourages others to spur the process of reaching out to even more Jews to encourage tshuva in a familial lifestyle. And so he adds that there's no Jewish home without Jewish life, or at least life potential in it. And so therefore, he says there's no such thing as having a home that is forgotten. So based on Rav Badani's idea, I was thinking that perhaps that's what we're saying here in the Avadim Hayinu as well. Had Hashem not arranged that our families be geared towards him, towards Shamayim, then no family could have merited leaving. Our children and our grandchildren would still be enslaved. And perhaps this idea from Rav Badani is something that we need to consider. Hare anu vaninu vnei vaninu. We have a responsibility to wake ourselves up. You know, in all these other years that we commented that the rabbis who came to Bnei Brak, which is the next episode we talk about in Haggadah, they all came to Bnei Brak. We like to quote from the Aruch HaShulchan in his Haggadah, who says that they came to Bnei Brak because of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the Rav of Bnei Brak. And as we know, in the name of the Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbi Akiva was the one who the rabbis all felt would give them the best Geula-related inspiration. After all, he was the man of Geula. Well, Rav Yosef Lieberman, who was the Rosh Kolel and Rosh Yeshiva at Shomrei HaChomos, and the Rav of the Sadi Gera Shul in Yerushalayim, and the author of the multi-volume work, Mishnas Yosef, quotes a Gemara in Psachim, who notes that when Rabbi Akiva was in prison, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai came to speak to him in prison and asked him to teach him Torah. So Rabbi Akiva refused. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai told him that if he don't do it, then Rav Shimon would tell his father Yochai and he would hand him over to the Malchus. The question Rav Lieberman asks is, how would that be possible? How could Rav Shimon threaten to be a Moser, somebody who turns in a fellow Jew, and especially not Rabbi Akiva, and especially for what? Teaching Torah? It seems like a foreign idea. So Rav Yosef Lieberman, he suggests that Rabbi Akiva thought that the time he was living in was one where the Navi's statement, Ami bo b'chaderecha, was being fulfilled and that he needed to be silent. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai noted for Rabbi Akiva this would mean an end to his life. If Rabbi Akiva wanted to thrive, he would need to be able to keep giving to others, which was his reason for living. And the Chasam Sofer points out that when one gives beyond himself, Hashem adds to his years. And if he wouldn't, so then Rav Shimon told him that he would return his soul to Hashem, to the real one, who is the real Melech. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai wasn't telling him he would give him over to the authorities. He'd give him over to the ultimate authority. Even Rabbi Akiva had an opportunity to be inspired. Even Rabbi Akiva, on the night of the Seder, can become somebody who comes inspired to think about Geula. When we leave the rabbis at the story in Bnei Brak, we now turn forward talk about Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Yeah, we make that statement. Baruch HaMakom, blessed be Hashem. Baruch Hu, blessed be He. Baruch Shenasan Torah liYamo Yisrael, blessed be Hashem who went ahead and gave Torah to Am Yisrael. And then we say Baruch Hu the fourth time. Why do we say it four times over? So the late great Rav Chaim Drukman, of course, this most senior spiritual leader of the religious Zionist community, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Or Etzion, the head of the Merkaz Yeshivot B'nei Akiva, Rav Drukman explained that every child is a blessing, including the four sons that we're about to mention, Keneged Arba Banim Divrei Torah. And says Rabbi Drukman, in essence, they're all Banim LaHashem Elokeichem, they're all children to Hashem. And so when we all sit together around the Seder, it's very important to remember, Baruch, 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 Baruch. It doesn't matter all the fighting that they've done. It doesn't matter all the difficulties that they've had. Baruch, 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 Baruch. Hashem gives us a chance to be blessed, and we should really grab and hold on to that blessing and run with it and be excited about it. And here we have yet another great thought from another great Jewish leader who passed in the past year. Switching gears, though, I want to quote from a great thought that I shared with Daniel Fleischer early this week. And it was a thought that came from Daniel's Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yaakov Bender Shlita, who turns around and looks at the first of the four sons. Rabbi Bender, of course, the Rosh Yeshiva of Darchei Torah and a master educator. He turns and he looks in his Agada and he talks about the Chacham, Chacham Ahu Omer. Rabbi Bender turns and he tells us a very important lesson to remember in Chinuch. He says, there are children who are also chachamim. Those children also deserve to be listened to. You know, sometimes we think that because the child is already getting on okay and everything seems okay, we can, sort of pass him over and, give the attention to the other children. Rav Bender says, Chacham Ahu Omer, he has to come first sometimes. And we have to make sure that we, whether it's in the classroom or whether it's at home, that we give attention to the chacham child also. And to make sure that he continues to grow, not to feel bad because he's the good child. And so again, Chacham Ahu Omer, listen to what the Chacham also has to say, and make sure that you praise him for his stuff as well, not just looking at what's missing and seeing where our time has to be spent elsewhere. At the same time, I think one of the most commonly commented issues is the concept of the Rasha, Rasha Mahu Omer. And when we talk about the Rasha, I think it's very critical and crucial for us to consider the Rasha and to consider where exactly and what exactly we're learning from the Rasha. You know, the great legend in Kiruv, Rabbi Uri Zohar, Rabbi Uri Zohar, who was born in Tel Aviv and in 1952 became Israel's one of Israel's number one entertainers. And in 1977, he was awakened to the process of tshuva, and slowly and surely, he became a full-fledged Baal tshuva and immersed himself totally in Kiruv activities. So, after a later period in his life, Rav Uri Zohar turned around and actually had a responsibility to start instructing others who were going through challenges in Kiruv, whether as children or as parents, trying to give a perspective. And he's written about it a ton. And he wrote extensive works trying to help parents deal with their children who were off the derech, oftentimes the ones who were screaming, Ma'avod azos lachem, what's the point with all the work that you're doing? So Rav Uri Zohar explained that, and trying to give omitz and direction, he set a tone for them by noting that the first step is not to give up on on them, but at the same time, he encouraged parents to seek an ability to recognize that there are things that you can do with a child who is still not on the derech. He turned around and he recognized that there's a quality time that a parent spends with children who are off so that they don't think that they're worthless. Find, create that sense. Rav Zohar explained, we owe thanks to our children that are our gifts from Hashem, who merit us the opportunity to raise them and correct and affect the greatest tikkun in our lives. That by raising and correcting their traits, because by doing so, we're also correcting and improving ourselves. And Rav Zohar explained that the parents that re, that the he encouraged parents to realize that there are times that parents can test themselves on their own inner fortitude to withstand their own sense of loss over the choices that their children make. and to rely in those times on the fact that there are not two but three parents who are involved, three partners in child rearing. And that is, sometimes you have to turn to the third one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. And he too has to be looking and hurting along with the parents. And so Rav Uri turns to the people and he says, it helps. But Seder time is not a time to abandon, nor to look for failure. You know, we often associate Yetzias Mitzrayim with two individuals who started the process. Paro makes a declaration and he says, Kol ben ha-yelod ha-ye'orot ha-shlichu, all children who are born, any son who's born should be thrown into the sea. Miriam, Amram got up and convinced everyone to stop having kids. He gave up. He abandoned the situation. Miriam turned around and she convinced him to go in the other direction. On Seder night, we have to offer thanksgiving for people who took the Miriam approach to life. They never give up, no matter the situation. Rav Uri Zohar is telling us to take our strength from those people as well and make sure that no matter what happens with our kids, we never give up as well. Our children still have a future and we can still have a relationship with them. You know, after we get out of the situation with the four sons, we're told, Seyu Lamad, go out and learn. Go out and learn. And this section of the Seder describes the great suffering of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, as told by the one who brings the Bikurim. And he begins in the negative, and he mentions how Hashem took us out, right? Arami Oved Aviv, Vayered Mitzrayim, there was a Lavan, and then we went down to Mitzrayim, Vayar Hashem Bimsei Ma'at, Vayisham L'goy Gadol Atzum Barav, and he mentions how difficult it was. And he begins how Hashem took us out. However, we know that those who were taken out were not the ones who were originally enslaved. There was a whole 210 to 400 year period in time. And it raises for us the constant hashgafic challenge of how to relate to challenges in life when it doesn't look great for the individual. It's great for us to look in hindsight and look our back and say, wow, we were able to overcome. All's well that ends well. But how's one supposed to deal with a situation when he's the one in the moment? So I have to tell you of Mordechai Sternberg, who was one of the Rosh Yeshiva of the Har HaMor Yeshiva, who passed away also earlier this year and was recognized and known in the community known as the Knitted Kippah Haredi community. Where Mordechai Sternberg suggested that there are two ways to look at life. In the former, one sees himself or herself as the center of the world, and that the world sort of rolls all around us. But there's another way to look at life. And that is to see oneself as part of a world that rolls around Hashem's master plan. And he compares the situation to a soldier who's fighting a battle. Think of the soldier for a minute who smashes his glasses on the battlefield. The soldier can lose focus on his own, or he can move in those situations and focus his energy on the greater focus, coming out with his fellow soldiers victorious. And that's the context of Emunah that Rav Sternberg suggested. When we're going through dark times and otherwise, the key, says Rav Sternberg, is to constantly ask ourselves, what does Hashem want for us in this moment as part of his greater master plan? If we can go ahead and get that idea across, then we can withstand the challenge whether or not we're going to be part of the immediate solution. But while we mention Arami Oved Avi, I think it's interesting that we have to point out that we select this section. After all, this section is used for the bringing of Bikurim. When the farmer brings the Bikurim on Shavuos, when he brings the first fruit and he brings it up to Eretz Yisrael, he turns around and he recites this text. We don't turn to the book of Shemos, and the question has to be why. So the late, great Rav Avraham Braunschweiger, I had the pleasure of learning for a very short period of time in my fourth year of smicha from Rav Braunschweiger. Rav Braunschweiger was in a wonderful Rosh Yeshiva at Reitz, and then later he was the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Landers Yeshiva in Queens. And he was known for his incredible and extremely well-populated shiurim and his strong love that he shared with each Talmud. Well, he cited the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, that equates Seder Zroim, which include all the agricultural mitzvos, including the bringing of the Bikurim, with the idea of Emunah. The Gemara says, Vaya Emunah Sitecha Choshen Yeshuos Chachmas Vadas Yiras Hashem Yotzaro. And Emunah refers to Seder Zroim. And Tosa cites a Yerushalmi there in Masechta Shabbos, by explaining that the farmer demonstrates his belief in Hashem through his process of planting and cultivating the land. But Braunschweigel used to add that unlike his more urban counterpart who gets distracted by tall buildings and man-made technological advancement, the farmer gets a chance to see the hand of Hashem in everything that he does. And so in the end, his crop's success and failure are ultimately and directly related to the level of bracha that he receives from Hashem. And so hence, one who lives within nature is much more aware of Hashem in the daily events than the one who is not. And he's more in tune to the opportunities to engage in emuna. And maybe that's why we use this text as the backbone of the Seder night. You see, the one who brings the Bikurim is attuned to matters of emuna and his gift of Bikurim. And the Seder night, whose underlying theme, at least one of them, is dedicated to expanding on the emuna of Hashem, is greatly enhanced by the awareness of the faithful farmer and his text declaring his emuna every single year. When you sit and you realize, I'm now in the mindset of a farmer, I can now find emuna in every step of the declaration that the farmer declares. What a wonderful, incredible thought from Rav Braunschweigel and something for us to build upon. In fact, while we're at it, maybe we'll take another thought from Rav Chaim Walkin. Rav Chaim Walkin was a Mashgiach Ruchni of Ateres Yisrael and Bayit Vegan, and he's recognized as one of the great Mashgichim of our time. After all, he was born in Shanghai when the Mir Yeshiva was there, and he was raised in the tutelage of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, and he adopted that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz style when teaching students. His signature method was teaching based on the principles of personal attention to individual students with a clearly defined message. He used education through a cooperation, not through harsh methods, and he passed away earlier this year as well. And so the great Rav Chaim Walkin also tried to figure out what exactly is this connection between Parshas HaBikurim and Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he explained that the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is Hakaras HaTov, is the recognition of the greatness of Hashem. And Hakaras HaTov, says Rav Chaim Walkin, is the basis of emuna, which leads one to open his mouth. I believe in God. I'm so excited. I open my mouth and I can say, Arami Obey Abi, says the farmer. The opening of the mouth in Hebrew is a Pesach. It's an open mouth that tells a story. That's also, by the way, says Rav Walkin, part of what we're doing on the holiday of Pesach as well. The open mouth of the farmer who brings the Bikurim to Hashem also opens his mouth to express the Hakaras HaTov. The two pieces are inseparable. And similar to Rav Braunschweigel, who also highlighted the idea of finding emuna, Rav Chaim Walkin says you can also highlight the idea of Hakaras HaTov. Rav Shechter used to tell us all the time, and I've heard this from his children as well, that he would spend time at a Seder pointing out how each step is another revelation of the Gilui Ikrei Emuna, of the recognition of each of the steps of faith, and how we find them in each of the lines of the Haggadah. And highlighting that to your children is one of the great parts of the Seder. Take a look at this, understand that, and see how this brought out a greater understanding in faith. And again, Rav Chaim Walkin and Rav Abba Braunschweigel are trying to get us to understand that and see it as well. And this is the idea that brings us all the way through the story of the Mikra Bikurim, through the understanding that brings us to Dayenu, and by the way, beyond Dayenu, to Achas Kama Vakama. And as we close out the Magid, we declare Lefichach Anachnu Chayavim Laodos Lecha. That's why we have to go ahead and thank Hashem. You know, before we get there, we turn around and we say, B'chol Dor V'Dor, in every generation, Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo, Ki'ilu Hu Yatza Mi Mitzrayim. In every generation, the individual has a responsibility to see himself as though he left Mitzrayim. It's interesting, that paragraph is written in singular, B'chol Dor V'Dor, right? And then when we get to the Lefichach paragraph, all of a sudden the individual becomes multiple. Lefichach Anachnu Chayavim. We have to sing praises, not Ani Chayav, right? What happened? Why is there a change? I think perhaps one can make and suggest an idea based on a comment of the late, great Rav Simcha Cohen Cook. I had the pleasure of knowing Rav Simcha Cohen Cook, and every time I had the chance to stand in his shadow, I can tell you that the opportunity to just bask in the glow of somebody who is just such a fun-loving person, who loved Am Yisrael, no matter who you are and no matter where you were. He felt Am Yisrael, and he appreciated all of Am Yisrael. And he was just a person bridged so many gaps in life. He once made a comment. It was at the wedding of his grandnephew and niece, Yedidya and Sivan Rahab Meir. And he spoke about the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which described the final discussion between the evil king of the 10 tribes, Yerovam ben Nevat, who had split the kingdom away from the unity under the Malchus Beis David led by Rechavam ben Shlomo. You know, the Gemara describes how Hashem grabbed his garment and tried to get him to change his mind and his path. And he tells Yerovam, he says that if you come back on the proper path, then Hashem, Yerovam, and Ben Yishai would stroll together in Gan Eden. And Yerovam asked me, Barosh, who's going to be in the front? And God answered, Ben Yishai Barosh, it's the Davidic line that's going to go first. Yerovam said, if that's the case, I don't need to go. And so instead of walking in Gan Eden together with Hashem and the Jewish leaders, Yerovam chose Gehenim to lead people there. Rav Simcha HaKohen Cook, under the chuppah, turned to the young chassan and kallah, and he said, ego is a terrible enemy. The desire to prevail over other people and prove that you're better than them can destroy and spoil everything. And he said the same thing is true in marriage. It's true in children's education. It's true in all areas of life. I find myself thinking of that comment. Similarly, when an individual needs to recognize that he or she was the individual, the ego that left Mitzrayim this evening, and he or she needs to see himself or herself that way, that's an important principle. But one cannot recite a Hallel as an individual, say, with an ego. The greatest way to say Hallel is Anachnu Chayavim Lahodosu LaHallel, saying it with an egoless individual. Recognition of freedom is the understanding that we stand beyond it, that we continue to grow as a total group, and that is Berovam Hadras Melech. That's where the glory of Hashem is declared. You know, we make a bracha at the end of Maggid, and we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Ga'alanu V'Go'alas Avosenu Mimitzrayim. God, thank you. You took us and redeemed us and then redeemed our forefathers out of Egypt. Question has to be raised. Why is it that we're pointing out that you redeemed us and then our forefathers? First, you redeemed the forefathers. Only later were we redeemed when we were born. So the question becomes, why is there a switch in the order? The great Rav Avigdor Nevenzahl Shalita, he should continue to be well, who is the former Rav Nevenzahl is the former chief rabbi of the Old City and the Rosh Yeshiva and the center and one of the great Gedolim of today. He also happens to be Rav Teitz's former chavrusa in Ponovitch Yeshiva. He once commented and said that when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, he said Tavdunas Elokim ala Harazeh. And the Medrash comments and says, what does that mean that you should serve Hashem on this mountain? And the Medrash explains and answers that the understanding, Tavdunas Elokim ala Harazeh, the Medrash says, who will be the Arif? Who's going to be the guarantor? And Hashem said, back, that Bnei Yisrael will be the guarantors, the Yus and the Mis, we will serve Hashem in the future there. And so the Geula happened because we became the guarantors first, says Rav Nevenzahl. It's first us, Asher Ga'alanu, Hashem redeemed us, Ami. And then he took out our forefathers in the process. We have a responsibility, therefore, to understand that there's an interplay of generations. And in every generation, we have to thank Hashem for that opportunity. I want to close out with two final thoughts because it's getting late, and also because we've had just so much to share. I first want to talk about the Hallel, and I want to come back to a thought that was raised again by the late great Rav Simcha HaKohen Cook. Generally, we know that it's forbidden to speak or interrupt in the middle of the Hallel. And yet, on the Seder night, we intentionally split the Hallel into two distinct parts, the part that we say at the end of the Maggid before the Bracha, and we separate that part from Rachza, Motzi Matza, Maror, Korech, Shulchan Orech, Tzafon, and Borech. We have all these issues intentionally. How can we do that? It doesn't make any sense. It sounds like we're making a hefsek. We're making a differentiation. So Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained that all of our meal on the Seder night is part of a mitzvah. Called it a mitzvah kiyumis, not the obligational mitzvah, but the fulfillment mitzvah. Because the entire meal is a Thanksgiving dinner. It's a big Suda Soda. It's not a hefsek. It's not an interruption of the Hallel. It's a fulfillment of the purpose of Hallel, namely Thanksgiving. Cook happened to add that therefore it's incumbent upon us to make sure that our Seder conversations tend to be a little bit more focused on Thanksgiving and Seder-related talk instead of political endeavors, but it's important for us to turn around and carry the idea forward. And with this, we brings us into the beautiful Hallel, Be'ezras Hashem, on Shabbos afternoon. We'll take some opportunity to talk a little about that one little paragraph after benching Shvocha Masra Ala Goyim. But I want to close out this shir this evening, the Haggadah shir, the B'chol Dor V'Dor shir, with a thought from Rav Zecharia Wallerstein, from the very last piyut we sing at the Seder, that of Chad Gadya. You know, there are all sorts of animals and elements that are doing all sorts of things. My brother-in-law had brought a custom to the family where we acted out, and everyone fights for the opportunity to be the stick. But the stick is actually the one part of the Haggadah of the whole piyut, of the storyline, that seems the oddest of them all. We make the declaration, we ask, chutra v'hika l'kalba. The stick came and hit the dog. In Chag Gadya, everything naturally makes sense in the sequence of events. After all, cats eat goats, dogs eat cats, water extinguishes fire, cows drink water. But how did the stick hit the dog? Sticks don't walk. And so it should be said that a person came and hit the stick, but it doesn't say that. And so Rabbi Wallerstein suggested that the Haggadah was written in this way for a reason. When you say Chag Gadya, everything appears to occur naturally. But there is something the author of the Haggadah put in the middle of the story that doesn't make sense. A stick appears on its own and it whacks a dog. And when you read this, you immediately raise your eyebrows and you say, wait a second, where did the stick come from? And then you realize it must be that Hashem was holding that stick. And if that's the case, the same is true of all those other natural events, whether it's the dog or the cat or the shochet or the malach hamavas. Even the cat eating the goat and the water extinguishing the fire, it's all the hand of Hashem. Nothing is natural and nothing happens by itself. And so throughout all the hardships in our lives, we can never think of anything as just being natural. At the end of the Haggadah, when we read the events of the Chag Gadya, we're meant to think of all the incidents in our personal lives. And then we're able to realize that even the stick that hits and the hardships that confront us, they all come from Hashem. He's behind our lives every step of the way. What an important message to conclude upon, and what a tremendous opportunity for me to turn and give you our bracha from my wife and myself to you and all your loved ones for the greatest Seder experience, for something that you and your children will be able to enjoy as an opportunity to transmit Midor Lador, just like we've had that opportunity in our lives. And may we experience a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, U'misha'asa Nisim La'avoseinu V'Galosam, may Avdus L'Chayecherus, U'yigalosanu B'Karov. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu make this the last year that we say Hashata Hacha. May next year we be the Arad Yisrael. May this be the last year that we declare Hashata Avde, and may next year be a year where we can say 100% L'shana Haba B'nei Chorin, Chag Kosher V'Sameach.